Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. Well, today we are having a conversation about something that's highly concerning to me personally, and that is the U.S. debt. In this episode, we are going to discuss the massive and almost surreal U.S. national debt, which is now at $34 trillion and growing. And so the purpose of this podcast really is to talk about the U.S. debt, and we want to break this apart a little bit. And next week, we want to discuss the personal impact of debt and the trending of that in our nation and how this is impacting you personally. And then we're going to conclude with a bit of a discussion on the consequences to both the nation and the person who assumes significant debt, and essentially to feed personal desire. So as you know, this podcast is called Everyday Truth, and it's focused on living life with a biblical worldview. So the Bible and Jesus himself had much to say about the topic that we're discussing today. And while we don't have time to cover everything this week or even next week, we do hope to inspire you to pick up your Bible and learn for yourself all that God has to say about money and your relationship with it and the impact of free will on this topic. And so as we start our conversation today, it's important to understand the context. And when we talk about debt, there are three areas that Christians need to know when it comes to debt. Number one, who debt violates. Number two, what it represents, and number three, what it requires. So let's go ahead and dive in. You ready?
Sure.
All right. So we want to start today really with a point, I would say a biblical worldview on debt. Did a lot of research on this, just did a word search on debt in the Bible. And so the Bible neither condones nor does it forbid people from borrowing money. I think that's important to understand, but it does strongly discourage significant debt. The Bible also acknowledges that debt is a part of life, but it can also be poor financial choices that prevent people from living out their God-given purpose. And so as we think about debt, think about the terms of debt. Most people probably have some form of debt in the United States. But let's elevate this conversation to talk about what's happening in our country with the U.S. debt. So I want to start with a question for you. So let's talk about what does the Bible teach about debt, and how does that violate biblical knowledge or biblical truth?
Well, you mentioned, Sarah, that the Bible really doesn't condone nor does it, certainly doesn't encourage debt in that sense. I'm reminded of the old Shakespearean phrase, neither a borrower nor a lender be, and a lot of people think that came from the Bible when it's kind of like cleanliness is next to godliness. Hmm. My mother told me enough to where I thought it was in the Bible, but it wasn't. But when you look at debt itself, you look at borrowing, I don't know that you can say that that is a sin based on, it's one of those gray areas in Scripture. Certainly, Proverbs 22:7 says that it's easy for the borrower to become a slave to the lender, mm-hmm. and that's very true. Anyone who has a mortgage on their home knows sometimes that that's hard to make that mortgage payment every month. The Jewish custom and tradition had that debts were forgiven every 7 years, every 50 years, totally forgiven. So. Mm-hmm. There was, and you had to collect your debt within a certain period of time or it was forgiven so that people could have a fresh start. We recognize that with bankruptcy, which I don't necessarily recommend, and I certainly is an issue for folks, but we do recognize that concept through bankruptcy. Ultimately, the whole problem that I see with the debt is that it is a symptom of a greater problem. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get into, where people spend more money than they take in because my mama used to say my eyes were bigger than my stomach. And when it comes to eating, and sometimes that's the way it is when we want material possessions or some benefit from spending money and we're not willing to wait until we can afford it, or maybe these things really aren't necessary anyway, and they're not what God wants us to have ultimately.
So when we take a look at our national debt, I did a little research, $34 trillion and growing. We're getting to the point where now just the interest paid annually on our debt is going to be over $1 trillion. So when you think of $34 trillion, let's put a word picture around what
and
that
that's
is.
A waterfall. It's a waterfall, Sarah, in the sense that it's $1 trillion today, but if you're not paying that debt, it accumulates at a very fast pace, and that's the reason I call it a waterfall. That's just going to keep cascading to a greater and greater extent because we're not paying our debt.
So if you take a look at $34 trillion, visually, it will fill 34 football arenas. If you take $100 bills, you stack them on top of each other, and you put them on a pallet, the pallets will fill 34 football arenas. So that's a pretty massive amount. It almost seems it's surreal. It almost feels insurmountable. How are we going to pay this off? And there's a lot of thought about, you know, how do we pay this off? But let's think a little bit. You were back to talking about the moral compass, if you will, regarding debt. Let's look at the government in the debt that's been incurred through our government decisions or interactions. I think it's also important to recognize that I did a little research on what our tax dollars pay for when you think of government employees, for instance. So federal government employees, three million, federal government employees. And when you look at local government, and this is all paid through tax dollars, your dollars, American dollars, there are 20 million employees that are involved in government work at the state level. So when you add that together, that's a pretty sizable amount of the tax-paying population, which was 118 million people last year.
It's a big deal. And you know, those of us who have been in business know that there is a baseline that you have to make just to keep the doors open before you get paid. And mm-hmm. when it comes to the government or to individual homes, you have to look and see what that overhead is. And certainly, if you're running a business, you need to look and say, okay, how many employees do I need to get this job done? Mm-hmm. And there's always that, it's a straining point sometimes to try to figure out exactly what you need to get the job done. Fritz Hollins was running for president one year, and it was when the Lebanon folks, the Marines were killed in Lebanon, and they asked him about it, and he said, you know, if we sent them over there to fight, we didn't send near enough. If we sent them to die, we sent way too many. Mm. And so that's the way it is with businesses. You have too many or you have too little, and I think what's happening is our government is becoming bloated in so many different ways. It's being bloated not only by the employees that we have, but what we're trying to pay for. And we're essentially bankrupt if it weren't for the fact that we have the ability as a government to generate money. And of course, if you and I were to start generating money, they'd charge us for counterfeiting, but the government gets to do that for free. But that's where the inflation comes from. The more government spends like that, then we get into this spiraling inflation, and it affects everybody. And that's where we are in this nation at this point.
So when we think of the morality, government is appointed by God. That's certainly biblical. The authority is appointed by God. We're to pray for the people who are in leadership. We're to honor the people who are certainly in leadership. But when you look at the intended purpose of that, let's go back. Let's look at what Moses did. And when Moses appointed people to provide oversight, it was there to provide guidance, to provide support, to provide oversight, to really lead the people, guide the people. But I don't think that's what's happening today when we have, you know, close to 24 million people in our country making a living by being involved in government labor, government work. That seems rather excessive. What other company in the world even has that many people?
Well, I couldn't run my company that way.
100%, right? And so why should we expect that? So how do we rectify this? How do we fix this? Is this a moral failing?
Absolutely, it's a moral failing. Mm-hmm. You can't look at it any other way. And I'm not talking about just the number of employees we have in government work.
Right, of course.
It's a moral failure. What we're spending our money on is a moral failure. We're spending money on things that don't need to be a part of government. I don't want to get into all of the rabbit trails we go, but with diversity, equity, and inclusion, you're hiring drag queens to put mm-hmm. on drag shows, and I mean that's just one example of the absurdity of what we're doing in our government. With education, we're not educating our children; we're indoctrinating our children, and that's another example of how we are not spending our money wisely. And we're like drunken sailors on shore leave. We're spending our money on anything and everything, and that's where the problem is created. So the only way out of this is we didn't get in it overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. But there has to be a thing that our culture doesn't like to hear, but it's called discipline. And it's discipline we have to cut back on the same way we do in the household. When the month's too long for the money, we cut back on the extra things, and we go to the basics, and we try to cover the basics. And then when you have a debt, the idea is to get that debt gone as quickly as possible, because you're paying, if you look at your mortgage every month, you pay down your mortgage by $100, and your total payment's $1,100 or $1,200, and so you're getting further behind. And that's exactly where it is in our government. We're now paying, adding to the overhead, the price of paying the debt back.
So when you think about that, we're looking at this certainly at a national perspective. There's so many implications for what's happening with the family and personal choice, and we're going to talk about that in our next podcast. But this has become such a controversial topic. It's not right and wrong. It's almost left and right now. So, when we think about, tightening up the belt, cinching up when you to make choices and decisions, it's now become a moral left and right discussion over, social programs or should we, give more money to wars. And I know that wars are certainly something that's cost the American people tax dollars, millions, billions of dollars, or trillions over time of dollars. As you think about that, we're currently, as this podcast is being produced, we are in support of two wars, where we have what's happening with Israel and then also what's happening with Ukraine. Whether you believe in it or not, you believe in supporting it or not, that's not the point. The point is that our country is supporting it. We have made decisions. Our government is supposed to be representing us, speaking for us, and so we the people. But that's become a moral issue. What about social service programs or taking care of our veterans or Social Security, all of these different programs that have been developed and designed to support the American people? Those are also being taken advantage of, and really theft is happening when you take a look at that. If we're using Social Security to pay for instance, illegal immigrants who are here in our country, we can't afford to do that. That means that those paying into Social Security now, like myself, may never actually experience the reward of that benefit that we've been paying into.
Well, I'm enjoying your payments, by the way.
Many people say that. That's good. I've been paying it my whole life. That I'm the generation who's
too.
Paid my whole life most likely won't see it by the time I retire. The point is, though, is that a moral slide? And so as we think about this and bring it back to biblical perspective, how can we as a nation start to employ biblical tactics, biblical truths around how we lead our government and our nation to address and tackle some of these issues?
Well, we're very selfish people, first of all, because debt is a very selfish thing. When you pay debt and have this great debt, you cannot help others because you're paying the money on the debt.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening to our government. So I think the first thing we've got to do is we need to repent of our the way we spend our money, because it is even individuals and certainly our government are not spending our money in a godly way.
Mm.
We're wasteful. Mm-hmm. We're spending money on things that we don't need to be spending on. We're spending money on wants and not necessities. We're just throwing money away. And when you do that, that is very contrary to biblical principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to recognize that as individuals and as a nation. And, you know, Second Chronicles calls on God's people to repent,
mm-hmm.
and turn to the Lord. And I think that's what we need to do in this nation, because Christians are just as bad about this problem as non-Christians are. This is not a problem that's isolated to what we sometimes would refer to as the pagan world. It permeates every aspect. And so repentance, particularly on the part of Christians, and then holding each other and our government in particular accountable for their spending actions is going to be crucial. And we do that obviously through the ballot box. And we need to encourage our politicians to be commonsensical when it comes to spending money and reducing the debt, so that our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren don't have to pay for what we spend now.
Well, I think the challenge we have too as a nation is that we're, our financial situation is a proverbial house of cards. We certainly can't continue in the manner that we are going. We have to figure out as a nation the kind of decisions that we need to make so that we're not saddling this tremendous burden on future generations. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we were to look at this personally, when you are in a situation like this, you have to make some concession, you have to make personal sacrifice, and you do have to go through some pain points, mm-hmm. and expect that you're going to have to go through some pain points. But as a collective body, everyone kind of experiencing that. I know that with taxation, and taxation certainly can be a very hot topic. I am not a proponent for increasing taxes. I believe if 10% is good for God, 10% should be good I'm all about a fair tax or a flat tax.
We have a spending problem.
We have a spending problem, but it, like you said, that really comes back to, when you think about the purpose of this podcast is everyday truth, it comes back to, and we need to ask ourselves as citizens, what is our motive? What's in our heart? Why do we do what we do personally in our own family? And then what are we allowing to take place at the governmental level, because we're not informed and we're really not paying attention? We as the people responsible for electing those officials to provide oversight for us, are we calling them? Are we contacting them? Are we doing everything that's necessary as a collective body to hold our government accountable for the decisions that they make, to be a part, to be informed, not just listen to the sound bites, but really go out there and investigate and be informed on the truth that's happening and taking place? And I think that would be my call to action today for our listening audience when it comes to what's happening at the national level. We have a few things we can do. We can certainly vote. We can call those officials who are responsible for oversight of our districts, knowing who they are, and being involved in that. And then also picking up the Bible and understanding the Word of God so that you yourself know what you need to be doing personally as part of a collective body. We can't think about just ourselves and what's happening in our own personal existence, and every decision needs to be made based on that. It's about us personally, and then also what's happening in our community collectively.
I think you're very right about what you're saying, mm-hmm. but I also would add to that, personally, we need to live our lives in such a way that would show the world that we understand what it is like to live in a biblical sense.
Amen.
And that means controlling our pocketbooks and mm-hmm. what we spend our money on and how we live our lives. And I think that's so important mm-hmm. as we try to influence our government.
So today, as we wrap up this podcast, first of all, we thank you for being with us today. We thank you for just letting us tease these topics about what's happening with the U.S. debt. And certainly we're going to go deeper next week as we come together to talk about personal debt, how that also impacts you and also your community, your family, and your legacy with your children. So thank you for being with us today. And would you like to close us out, Judge?
I just say, you know, as we come to an end today, it's so important for us to go to God's word and amen. Figure out what, not only what God has to say about debt, but how God has to say, what he has to say about how we need to live our lives. We need to be living biblically in an unbiblical world.
Amen. Amen. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.